We're glad that you're here. Today we begin a brand new series entitled Built to Last. We're looking over the next number of weeks at what it looks like to build life Jesus way. Build life Jesus way. And in a moment, we're going to look together to Matthew chapter 7. But before we get there, has anybody else ever made a purchase and you realized within a matter of days that what you had bought was not built to last? Anybody else beside me? When I was in junior high, I was really getting into snow skiing, and my parents blessed me one year with a brand new pair of skis. They took me to the local sporting goods store, and I remember seeing these skis going, man, I can't wait to ski on these. I went up to the hills, and a couple weeks in, I remember going off a jump and coming down, and something didn't sound right. I look at the bottom of my skis, and they had broken. I was thinking, that's not supposed to happen. So I get done and walk the skis back into the sporting goods store and show the owner, and he's kind of scratching his head going, man, what did you do? I was like, I just skied. I don't know. So he hands me a new set and goes, that's weird, must be a defect. Sets them aside, gives me a new pair. So off I go back to the hill, and man, I'm excited, I'm ready to ski. And a couple weeks later, go off another jump and take the skis off, broken again. I'm thinking, man, I'm not having good luck with these. So I bring it back to the owner, and they said, man, two for two. That's odd. Must be a defect. Gave me another pair. Head back up to the hill. Anybody guess where this is going? For the third time, I broke the same brand type of skis. We pull into the parking lot. Myself and my parents, we get out of the car. The owner sees me coming, and he's just shaking his head, you know, because I walk these skis in, and he's looking at it. He goes, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm done. And he grabs a different brand, a different type of ski, and goes, here you go, get out. See, the type of ski that I had, clearly it wasn't built to last. If I were to survey us in the audience today, or maybe we would consider some of our friends or coworkers, many of us, we want to experience a life that can last the test of time. As it comes to maybe our relationships or our finances, there's not too many people who say, you know what, I want things to just kind of fade away. I just want things to kind of fizzle away. We all want to experience life in such a way that's built to last. And I want us to consider for a moment, what would life look like if we built it Jesus' way? What would have to change for you? What attitudes would have to shift? What mindsets would have to be transformed? What relationships would have to maybe look a little bit different? What would maybe stay the same if you were going to build it Jesus way? In Matthew chapter 7, we see Jesus concluding what we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, it's a collection of Jesus' teachings on what it looks like to live as a citizen in God's kingdom. And we get to the last part of this, and Jesus gives some instruction. He helps us understand, here's what it looks like to build life in such a way that it will actually last. He says this, starting in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Anyone who listens, can you say listens? Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it. That's the key right there. It's not just hearing. It's doing. He says, anyone who hears my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. How many of you want your life to be built on something solid? Because here's the reality, life eventually is going to get shaken up. And in those moments, what your life is built on, what your life is established on, makes all the difference. Jesus continues. He says, but anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds begin to beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Here's what I want you to notice today. The issue isn't an issue of hearing. Both builders heard Jesus' words. Both hearers, like they received the message. The difference, though, was one put it into practice. The other was not willing to put it into practice. So we look at this. Both received the message. Both heard the message. Both built something. And both faced storms. That's important. Because there's some people who, they believe, if I just put my trust in Jesus, that means I will never face a storm in my life again. All you got to do is walk out to the parking lot after saying yes to Jesus. And you'll realize, man, life brings storms. Both builders experienced storms. Both builders heard Jesus' teaching. Both builders set out to build something. But what they built on, what they did, the materials that they use, it makes a difference. We want to approach life, and we want to build life in Jesus' way, not just our way. And that's what I want us to focus on over the next number of minutes. And yet, when we talk about this, I think there's some beliefs in our culture, there's some beliefs in our world as it relates to building our lives. Maybe you can identify with a few of these. I want to say a few statements to kind of get us ready for where we're going to go today. But how many of us recognize there's people at times where we want a lasting product, but the challenge is we're building with temporary materials? There's a lot of people that want a marriage that will last. There's a lot of people that want finances that will last. But if you're building with temporary products, friends, it won't work. Could you imagine building a new house and the framers show up and instead of using nails, they just have rolls of duct tape? You probably wouldn't be too excited about that, would you? You're like, hey, no, it's okay. This duct tape's really strong. You know, we live in a culture that just wants to duct tape life together. We want quick fixes. We want a lasting structure, but we want to build that lasting structure with temporary materials. Friends, it doesn't work. Not only that, have you noticed at times we want the strength and security of a well-engineered plan, but we just don't want to always follow the blueprints. So today, we sit in a room, and aren't you thankful for structural engineers? If you're not, just wait for the ground to start shaking. Then all of a sudden, you'll be thankful that there's structural engineers, right? But it's not enough just to have somebody submit a good plan of blueprints that are engineered well to kind of carry the load. No, you're hoping that not only were the plans submitted, but the builders followed the plans. And this is a breakdown in our lives, because at times I want the strength and security of a strong life. I just don't necessarily want to follow all the plans that are going to help me get there. What about this tension? Maybe you've experienced this. We want the excellent finished product without always focusing on the details that matter. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to do a project at home, and in my mind, I have a picture of what it's going to look like. I mean, in my mind, I'm waiting to open up my house for HGTV. Come on in. Come on in. It's beautiful. And I get like 15 minutes into the project, and I get agitated. And so I just start taking shortcuts and bypassing details. Why? Because if Chip and Joanna can do it in 5 minutes, I should be able to do it in 5 minutes, right? And I get frustrated and I start hammering things and gluing things that don't need glue. And the end product looks nothing like I thought it would. Why? Because at some point I lost attention on the details that actually matter. If we want to experience life that's built to last, here's one of the keys. The key is focus. Can you say focus? What you focus on as you're building life, it matters. It matters. In fact, I would say it this way. Listen, the reality of what you're looking to, what we look to in life, it's determining our destiny. What we give attention to, what we focus on, it determines our destiny. To help us understand this a little bit better, I want to look to Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews 12, the author writes these words, starting in verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. Now, what is this author referring to? Well, in chapter 11, he talked about all these Old Testament heroes that they chose to live by faith. So when we talk about this crowd of witnesses, they're not just spectating you and I. No, they are witnesses to the fact that this life of faith can actually be lived out. And since we're surrounded by that type of witness, since we're surrounded by those who have gone before us and said, we can hold on to God's promise, we can live by faith, here's what we're encouraged to do. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. How many know if you're going to set out to do a run this afternoon, it's probably wise of you to set aside some things that don't need to be carried. You know, I've run a few half marathons in my life. I've never seen any ladies running with their purse. 13.1 miles, you know, rounding mile 8. Here they go, their big old handbag just for the glory of Jesus. You don't see that. Why? Because it's unnecessary weight. It doesn't help you get to your goal. Not only that, listen, I've never seen a man running a half marathon with his golf clubs. Doesn't happen. That's unnecessary weight. You got to throw it aside. It says strip off the weight that slows you down, especially the sin that wants to entangle you. But not only does it say that we should cast some stuff off, it then gives us some clear instructions. It says, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set out before us. In other words, we need to focus. We need to focus not just on what we're casting aside. Once we get that weight out of the way, we need to begin to focus. Why? Because Jesus has a race for each and every one of us. He's mapped it out. And I love what the author gives us instruction to do. He answers how we do this in verse 2. It goes on. It says, we do this by what? Keeping our eyes on Jesus. Do you know there's a difference between a glance and a focus? At times, listen, it's easy to go through life and we're running and we show up Sunday and we glance at Jesus. And then Monday comes and the pressure at work, and now we're fixed and focused on the challenges of work, on the challenges of marriage, on the challenges of parenting, on the challenges of our finances. And yet the scriptures say, no, we do this by fixing our eyes on Jesus. It's where we set our focus. It's where we fix our attention. And it continues on. It says that Jesus is the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. I love that. At times it's easy to believe, okay, I look at Jesus when I want to experience salvation, but after that, I just need to get busy building life. No. How you build life is you continue to lock your focus on Jesus. He's the one who initiates, and he's the one who's going to be faithful to help you complete the building of it. See, what you look to, what I look to, it determines our destiny. It's shaping life. It's shaping where we're going to end up. Where you look, where you focus, it matters. And yet many of us, at times, we can be guilty of maybe looking to the wrong thing. Trust me, I'm not going to try to build something today. See, at times in life, we look at ourselves and the condition that we're in and we're saying, okay, well, I'm doing just fine over here. And then all of a sudden we look over at someone else and we start comparing ourselves to what they look like, what they're doing, how they're measuring up. And all of a sudden, this person who feels maybe a little bit misshapen, do you notice the difference between these two boards? You see, it's interesting how often we are quick to measure ourselves by what somebody else has done. And so today, for those of you who walk through these doors or you're watching online and you say to yourself, man, I'm not everything I should be. Man, compared to them, I'll never measure up. Compared to them, I don't have it together. Listen, that's not the measurement that you're called to use. But also for those of us, maybe we've been in church for a while, Maybe, you know, there's not too many quote-unquote challenges in life, and it's easy for people in this category to begin to look at others and go, man, compared to them, I'm doing good. Man, compared to them, I'm doing just fine. I mean, I know I have some nicks, I know I have some issues, but trust me, at least I'm not looking like that. But again, that's not what we're called to measure ourselves by. In fact, in the Old Testament, the prophet Amos, he has this vision from God. And God says to him, Amos, here's what I want you to do. I want you to recognize that I'm holding out a plumb line. He says, I'm holding this next to my people, and I'm making sure that they are lining up with what I want them to do. You see, we're not called to measure ourselves by what somebody else is doing. That's not the focus of our faith. The focus of our faith is to continually fix our eyes on Jesus, come back to his plumb line, and when Jesus says, here's how I want you to build, we go, okay, am I lined up with that? Am I lining up with how you want me to build life? Am I lining up with how you want me to approach my finances? Am I lining up with how you've called me to parent? Am I lining up with what you expect of me? See, at times we get our focus on the wrong things, friends. We focus on the wrong things as we're building life. We're not measuring ourselves by what somebody else is doing. We're not measuring life based upon what we see. We come back and we continue to fix our eyes on Jesus. Jesus, how do you want me to build this? How do you want me to shape this? See, these mistakes, they often happen when it relates to our focus in life as we're building. Today, I want to talk about three specific mistakes that I want to encourage us to avoid as we build life. The first mistake is this: when I build my life focused on what others are building. This is a mistake. If I spend my life in here, Jesus has asked me to go this direction, but even as I'm trying to go this direction, I'm always looking over here at what somebody else is building. Friends, that is a mistake. Do you know that comparison kills? Tell you right now, there's some marriages that are in crisis because of comparison. There are some families that are in crisis. Why? Because of comparison. Comparison will kill, it will kill your self-esteem. It'll kill your sense of self-worth. You're not called to build your life based upon what somebody else is doing. Come back to the plumb line. Allow Jesus to shape what you are building. See, the reality is, friends, if I wanted to be insecure about something in my life a number of years ago, if I wanted to measure my house by somebody else's house, I actually had to drive over there and go look at that house. Now all you have to do to live in the world of comparison, just open up Instagram. Everybody's children are always smiling and happy. Every marriage is like long walks during a sunset on the beach. Everybody is a gourmet chef at every meal. Are you kidding me? Let me bring some freedom to some of us today. Everything on social media is fake. Everything. And here's why this is so big. Because some of you are discouraged about where your kids are at, but listen, Jesus gave you those kids. He didn't give you their kids, he gave you your kids. Right. Some of you, you're in crisis over your marriage, but guess what? Jesus didn't give you their marriage, he gave you your marriage. Don't get busy building what he's entrusted to you based upon what somebody else is building. This is a mistake. When it comes to our focus in our culture, we are consumed by it. Here's what will set us free though. When we understand my assignment is unique. Jesus has given you a unique assignment. The marriage you have, the kids you have, the job that you have. It is unique. I remember sitting down with a mentor and a friend of mine shortly after I graduated from college. And he looked at me, I'll never forget these words. He looked at me and said, Tyler, never forget, the anointing is on the real you. Not the you that you try to be, Not the you that you try to project to other people. God's assignment is on the real you. It's not what others see or say or are building. No, it's for you. Avoid making the mistake of focusing on building your life based upon what somebody else is building. Because you're measuring the wrong things. Come back to Jesus' plumb line. Come back to what he's asking you to do. Here's the second mistake we make. When I build focused on proving something. You ever met somebody and it's just like, no matter who they are, what they're always trying to prove something? The moment they get wound up, they're like, oh yeah, I'll show you. The desire that our world has to try to impress others, friends, it becomes a cycle that we are not designed to live in. And here's the challenge. When I'm living my life to try to impress other people, at some level, I've lost sight of what the gospel says to me. Hear me clearly. When we believe the gospel, here's what happens on the other side of that. It means that no longer do I have anyone to impress, and I no longer have anything to prove. Why? Because Jesus is my identity, and he's also my security. I have no one to impress. I have nothing to prove. I can trust him. You see, here's how we get set free from this cycle of trying to impress other people. It's when you understand your identity in Christ is secure. You don't need that affirmation to make you feel better about yourself. The King of Kings looked at you and said, "You're worth it. I love you. I'm for you. I want you." You didn't have to do anything to try to earn that or deserve that. Friends, that's grace. And we spend our lives responding to that. Don't make the mistake of focusing on others. Don't make the mistake of focusing on trying to prove something. Here's the third thing. Don't make the mistake of trying to build life focused on my plans and then consulting Jesus later. You ever done this where you get busy planning life? And by the way, I am all for planning. Because here's the reality, life is going to either happen by design or by default. It's not a matter of if or whether or not you're going to build. You're going to build life, but are you going to do it by design or by default? But the problem is, so often we get into our planning mode, and then we get all the way down here and we realize, Jesus, maybe I should have talked to you because I hit a dead end. Jesus, I wasn't expecting to be here, so now can you come help me? What would happen if we brought the designer in at the ground level? Say, Jesus, I want my plans to be your plans. I want to follow in line with what you are calling and asking me to do. See, here's what will set us free from falling into this mistake. It's when we realize that Jesus isn't our consultant. Jesus is our king. Some of us, we treat Jesus like a consultant. Come in and, hey, Jesus, what do you think about this? What do you think? Could you help me out over here? And at times we like part of his advice, but we don't know if we like everything else. You ever approach scripture like that? We're like, okay, God's grace is sufficient. Amen. I like that. Be holy because I am holy. Okay. Is he consultant or is he king? Because a consultant will show up and say, here's what I think you should do. And we go, oh, I don't know if I really like that advice. But when the king shows up and all the materials are his, all the resources are his, in that moment, what the king says goes. We have to trust what he's asking us to do. We got to follow the instructions that he's bringing to us. And the good news that I have for us, friends, is that Jesus has given us the blueprints to build life in such a way that it will last. But it starts with focus. Can you say, fix our eyes on Jesus? Come on, say it again. Fix our eyes on Jesus. That's what we're gonna do.